Now, we're into our usual slot on Tuesday with the editor of Astronomy Ireland magazine, David Moore. David, how are you?
Very well, thanks.
Good, good. And you're very welcome to the program. Now, what has your week been like up at night and sleep during the day? Is that more of that, is it?
Yep, absolutely. We had on Sunday the planet Mars almost going behind the moon. It was about a tenth of a moon diameter just below the moon, so skimming the lower edge. And that's quite a rare sight. If you'd been up in northern Scotland, you would have actually seen it pass, Mars pass behind the moon. The moon would have covered it. So we just missed it by a few hundred kilometers or so. But I had cloudy skies, I have to confess, for the closest bit. But some people actually in the other parts of the country actually did have clear skies, and we got some great photographs to put into the next issue of the magazine. So watch out for those.
Absolutely. Now, tell me about this, the full snow moon. Tell me about that.
Yeah, well, Mars was right next to a nearly full moon. Technically, the moon is going to be full on Wednesday. So tomorrow, in fact. Mm-hmm. So tonight, the moon rising about now at sunset will look full to the naked eye. Tomorrow it'll be indistinguishable, even if you've got a pair of binoculars. You won't even see it's not perfectly round. There won't be any bit missing off the edge. And it might even look fairly full on Thursday night as well. So people have got 3 nights, really, to take pictures of it rising next to interesting objects, landscapes, even people, family and friends. You can get a kid to hold their hand out at arm's length and move yourself with your camera phone until it looks like the moon is resting in their hand. A lot of people try that. But there's lots of landmarks around the country, statues, buildings, things like that, that you can line up a moon with and get spectacular pictures at this time of year.
Okay, okay. Now, again, all this last couple of weeks, we've had the planet parade. So what way are things now in the planet parade?
Well, the big thing is that there are 8 planets, including the Earth. There used to be 9, and then 2006 we lost Pluto, who got demoted to a dwarf planet. So sticking with the 8, a bit controversial that, so sticking with the 8, the Earth, of course, you can see that easy, just look down at your feet. So the other 7 planets, to see them all in the sky at the same time is very rare. I read one report that it won't happen again until 2040. You can't see all 7 at the moment, but you can see 6. And then on the 25th of February, this is in the magazine, the planet Mercury will pass the planet Saturn. They'll be about a moon width apart. So if you manage to see the 2 of those low in the west, then you can look at the rest, some of which you can see with naked eye, some of which will need a telescope. But you could theoretically, for a few days around 25th of February, see all 7. So this week, you're just going to get the 6. And the first one everyone sees is Venus, which is blazing there in the west. It's clear now. You can't miss it, but 100 times brighter than the brightest stars in the sky. And it's up to about 9 o'clock. And once it sets, Jupiter, about 10 times brighter than the brightest stars in the sky, reigns supreme till the wee hours of the morning. You can't miss it. So in fact, Jupiter and Saturn early on in the evening, you see the 2 are really spectacular. You'll only see that side for a few more weeks, so make the most of it. And then over in the east, you've got Mars rising. So I think most people will certainly see 3. Venus, Jupiter, Mars, brighter than the stars in the sky, dead easy. Saturn is to the lower right of Venus. So if you know where to look, you'll see that with your eyes. And the other 2, Uranus and Neptune, you need a telescope or binoculars. There's a map in the middle of Astronomy Island magazine every month showing you where they are. But that might be one for the experts.
Absolutely. Now, just going back to the planet Pluto, that's no longer, as we call it, planet. Like, I would have grown up with Pluto being a planet. Tell me why. Tell us the story. Why that was demoted?
Well, when Pluto was found in 1930, it was a lot fainter than expected, and as technology went on and we got more information about it. People came up with all kind of crazy excuses as to why it looked so small. It couldn't really be that very small. People thought maybe it's like a shiny ball bearing and we're just seeing the glint off it, so it looks like a tiny dot. But then in the 1970s, a telescope managed to photograph a moon going around Pluto. And there's a trick that you learn in leaving CERT physics classes that you can weigh a planet if you can tell how long it takes a moon to go around it. It's a great trick Isaac Newton basically invented.
Right.
And that put the final nail in the coffin. We knew then it wasn't even as big as our moon. It wasn't anywhere half the size of Mercury, the smallest planet we have. And then in the 1990s, I think it was, we found Eris. Eris is the same size as Pluto. And it became obvious that Pluto is just one of a big asteroid belt out beyond Neptune. Now, we know we've got an asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter, but there's another one called the Edgeworth-Kuiper belt. Edgeworth is Irish. And there's probably objects bigger than Eris and Pluto. In fact, one might be as big as the planet Mars, some people think. So we realize all the big planets really have collected all the material in their orbit and gotten very big. But Pluto hasn't. It's still, if you like, 4.5 billion years after the solar system formed, collecting all the material into one planet. And the outer planets might keep disturbing it, so it never will happen. It won't happen in the lifetime of the sun. So that scientific argument led people to believe it's not the same as the other planets. It's a dwarf planet. So is Eris. So are some of the big asteroids between Mars and Jupiter, Ceres at least. So we have dwarf planets and real planets.
So the
got demoted. There so was uproar at the time.
Yeah, I can imagine. I'd say the relationship between Pluto and Eris is not good since Pluto's after being demoted.
Yeah, and they're almost exactly the same size. I think within about 1% of each other. Eris might be a tiny bit smaller, leaving Pluto as the biggest dwarf planet. But they'll probably find a bigger one at some stage. Why haven't they found them all? Because out there, they're extremely faint. They're very far from the sun. They don't reflect much light, and they're pretty small. And that's why we can't see them easily. And they're not going to get something like the James Webb Space Telescope to scan the sky looking for another Pluto or Eris. It's got too many other important things to do. So they just demoted Pluto. If you want an Irish connection to the story, there was a meeting held, I think it was in Austria, 2006, when the astronomers had been talking about this, and they decided to hold a vote of all the research astronomers in the world, and that demoted Pluto. And the chairperson who officiated over the whole meeting to demote Pluto was an Irish woman, Professor Dame Jocelyn Bell Burnell from Lurgan, originally.
Okay. Okay. Now,
you can't really blame her because she only counted the votes.
Now, David, I'm going to make a commitment here to you because I'd like to do it at some point, just maybe in the, over the next month or two. I'd like to actually go up and do a, do our slot from your headquarters there. And maybe we'd get a tour around it and kind of give people an appetite for what goes on in Astronomy Ireland in the actual headquarters and what the kind of stuff we look at. I think that'd be good for listeners to understand to get a picture on radio, if you like, about what's like up at Astronomy Ireland headquarters. I'd like to do that over the next couple of months.
Yeah. We're not a sort of visitor centre, but we have offices and we have a big storeroom full of lots of telescopes and bits and bobs and old magazines and everything else and filing cabinets and the lot. So it's become a very big organisation over the 34 years it's been running, 35 years it's been running now. And we have big plans for the future as well. So, yeah, work away and we'll show you what we've got. But one day we'd love to have our own observatory or linked to a big planetarium, which Ireland doesn't have. The north of Ireland does, technically a different government.
Right.
But we don't have a big planetarium in the south. There are a couple of smaller ones, one up in County Donegal, one down in West Cork, and a few portable ones running around the place, but nothing like, for instance, the one that a lot of people have visited in Armagh. And if we had a centre like that for the public to congregate on, I think it would focus people's minds even more.
And should we have it?
Absolutely. The reason is that when I was a kid going to university, I think the main part of our economy was agriculture. Ireland was a poor country. And then the Celtic Tiger came. We attracted all these science companies. And something like 60% of Ireland's GDP now comes from all the science-based activities that are going on. You know, the Googles, the Intels, the pharmaceutical companies, the chip manufacturers. We're the European headquarters for a lot of these huge companies. And that's meant they're looking for graduates. So agriculture, I think, is still 10, 20, 12% or so. Remember the Celtic Tiger, those that are old enough to remember 20 years ago? Well, the construction industry, at its peak, when they were making 90,000 homes a year, and we're down to a third of that at the moment, that only accounted for 20% of our GDP. Science was 60% back then in the Celtic Tiger, and unlike the construction industry, it's continued at 60%, and long may it continue, because it makes Ireland, relative to population, our GDP is one of the highest in the world. So there's great jobs. If your kids get interested in astronomy, it's a great line into a scientific career. You don't have to end up being an astronomer. You can be a chemist, an engineer, a software person, working any of these big corporations who are screaming out for science graduates. So if they express an interest in science, you've got a good kid there.
Now, and David, what are the obstacles, in your opinion, to not having a large planetarium? What are the obstacles that are in the way? Like,
well, there've been a number of projects that we've helped advise over the years, and at one stage, remember, it came down to a planning permission objection. A rich donor was going to pay for the whole thing, but when somebody objected to, maybe I shouldn't say exactly where it was, but there was a nice theatre that wasn't being used and was going to be converted into a planetarium, and it got an objection, and the donor pulled out. Another one that's still ongoing is the Children's Museum, Science Museum, that wasn't going to include a planetarium. This is decades ago, and we found out about it. We talked to them and said, you have to have a planetarium in, and they hastily redrew the plans and included a planetarium in that one. It's hit a number of legal problems. It's been in the news over the years for legal problems. It's still technically got its funding, but we're not sure when it's going to come online. So that's got caught up in that wrangling. And for a country with a huge science-based economy, we should have a planetarium in every city, maybe even town if we could afford it, you know, to get the young people interested and to keep them interested. And we're going to be trying to make that case to the new government that's now in. So if you like astronomy for viewing purposes, join Astronomy Ireland. But if you want to change the country, join us for that reason too.
Yeah, and am I right in saying that the minister with the most likely minister to make this happen is the minister for higher education, now the new minister James Lawless? Would I be right in saying that? Is that what we're talking about?
Well, if we want to get all political, and you know, when you're running a large organisation, sometimes you have to do that to try and make things happen. The department that would oversee what's now called Research Ireland, it used to be called SFI, Science Foundation Ireland. Really, it's supposed to be funding universities for their equipment. So if a university wants a new electron microscope for a few million quid, that's the budget to do all that. And it links with industry as well. But many years ago, the CEO said he thinks a few percent of its work should be spent promoting science in Ireland. And during the Celtic Tiger, in particular, we got quite a few grants from that. It all dried up when the economy crashed, was it 15 years ago now? But now everything's booming again. We've seen big surpluses, and we should invest that in our future employees, which are about a quarter of a million people who are employed in the industry. But they're usually very high-paid jobs. And I've been meaning to work out the statistic of how much of their at least income taxes and the VAT they spend out of the rest of their disposable income goes into the economy. So it was a brilliant idea the government had in the 90s of attracting all these investors over, dropping the corporation tax and taxing the employees, basically, to create jobs. And okay, That's exactly what they did. We're at full employment.
Okay, you've 30 seconds. Tell me about the Astronomy for Beginners evening classes going on, and each is self-contained. Tell us very briefly about them.
We do indeed. Every Wednesday, so they're running tomorrow night. You can sign up now. I think they're at the third class. You can watch live each of the last five, and you can get the recordings for the first three, and you can then repeat them in October free of charge. So it's actually better to join late. And you'll do the course almost twice, if you like. So there's no reason not to sign up until March the 19th they run.
Okay.
Astronomy.ie, is where you'll get the deep lectures coming up. Links to our social media. Okay. We'll be putting out in the Rover Report shortly.
And if you want to get your hands, if you want to sign up for that magazine as well, the Astronomy Ireland, you go to astronomy.ie to sign up for that. It's really well worthwhile. Listen, David Moore, editor of astronomy.ie, thank you indeed for joining me on the programme.
My pleasure.
Talk to you next week. Bye-bye. Now, that was David Moore there, editor for Astronomy Ireland magazine.